another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I have my lovely co-host in the studio with me, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
It is going good. I got to go to Taste of Atlanta this weekend, and it was an absolute blast. And I had VIP tickets as we had the guys on, and I just beat on them until they gave me tickets.
I helped with that, I think.
Yes, you did.
Because I booked them.
Yeah, I promised them they could have their own show and everything. I know. And I was like, Jessica, make it happen.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was a blast, but we'll both have to go next year because they had all-you-could-eat oysters, which was ridiculous. It was great. It was awesome. So
I'm kind of off the oysters right now.
I know right now. Oh, okay. But next year, like I said, no next challenge. Year you should be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll strap a... We'll bring your husband along, strap one of those baby harnesses, and we'll go.
Sounds awesome. We'll do it.
So, as usual, you've brought some great guests in here today. Who do we have today?
Today we have Sarah Day with Sarah Atlanta Events. We have Masita Partridge with Ivory Bridal and Formal. And we also have Tracy Kaltman Atmed with Weston Atlanta Perimeter North.
That's why I make you do the names so I don't butcher them. All
right.
Well,
good job.
So we're going to start with Sarah today first. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us a little about yourself and how you got into this industry.
Oh, I think like many people, I kind of tripped into it more years ago than I would care to admit to, actually. But I started in the floral industry. A long time ago, and created a bridal program for the flower shop that I was working with. And my mom actually owned a flower shop for a while, and so I'd work with the brides. And apparently I just had a knack for brides, which I love it. I absolutely love my brides, and they do become mine. They're my brides, my weddings.
I love it.
You know, it's funny because I'll be talking to people, and I'll be like, oh, well, I have my wedding this weekend. And they're like, what? You're getting married? And I'm like, oh, no. It's like my 12th one this year. So, but I absolutely love it. It's really fulfilling, and it's been fun to kind of transition through the floral and decor and different venues. I think it really helps me be able to express all the different facets of planning an event to my potential clients.
I think a lot of people may not know that you had a venue when you were in Washington.
Yes. Yep.
Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. Okay. I've actually been here in Atlanta now 3.5 years, going on 4 years. Wow, time flies. It's been an amazing experience. I actually love Atlanta. But yeah, when I was in Washington State, I restored a church that was actually built in 1906 and turned it into an events venue. They had a little house next door where, you know, the minister would live, and that's where I lived. And so that was just kind of my little corner of the world that I would do lots of weddings. It was a wedding chapel and a special event facility, but a lot of other wine events being from Washington State. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Atlanta, I didn't realize how spoiled I was when it came to the wines that were so readily accessible in Washington. Yeah. So it's fun to go back home and smuggle some wines back in with me. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get them here with some of the smaller vineyards that they have.
Yeah,
I did a lot of weddings, a lot of wine events. And I kind of miss that, just a smaller little historic venue.
Definitely. Is this what you wanted to do when you were a little girl? You were like, hey, I'm going to plan. You got all the kids in town like, all right, let's plan a wedding. The mock weddings with the teddy bear.
You know, that's funny because I actually wasn't really the wedding side of it, but I'm a classically trained opera singer also.
And wow, okay, so you do it all. All right,
too.
So.
Wow, how so funny. That's crazy.
We knew that. That's a theme. That's a theme of this.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
I need to have them sing.
So, big show. Yeah, but I was, I used to tour quite a bit, and even from a very, very young age, you know, I would go through the crowd and I would get gum and candy from all the little old ladies in the crowd, and my mom always said that I could sell ice to Eskimos, and I would go through and just pretty much
you clean them out.
Was a social butterfly. Yeah, awesome. My seventh grade English teacher, Mr. Blackburn. Gotta love Mr. Blackburn, and I will never forget him. He called me a social butterfly. I did not realize that was how I was going to make my living for the rest of my life, but that's pretty much what I do. Is I'm just social and network and just get out there and meet new people.
Okay. My teachers called me volume control because I was just really loud.
There you go.
So I want to speak to the name of it. SarahAtlanta.com. That's so catchy. So how do you think that up? Or was it just a spur of the moment? You're like, you know what? This is really easy. People aren't going to forget this. Sarah Atlanta.
Yeah. I had, of course, my last name is Day. So there's a million different play on words with that. And I had perfect day coordination for a million years. And when I moved to Atlanta, I just really, really fell in love with this community. We have one of the most welcoming events communities that I have ever been a part of, and I have some of the best friends and have done more amazing things with my career here in Atlanta than I've done anywhere else. So I've kind of been a little bit branded almost as, you know, the crazy little redhead of the the events industry of Atlanta. So I thought, why not really just own it? You know, I do events all over the country. I've got a bride that's getting married next July in Seattle, and over Valentine's Day I'll be in Hawaii. I know that's going to be just rough.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a terrible life, I tell you. But I really wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be Sarah Atlanta, and that's who I am, and it's what I love, and I can never see myself not being based here out of this incredible city.
Definitely. Well, I love how you mentioned it. It's so collaborative here, and people, like, they help pick you up. You'll ask for advice, and they'll actually answer. And I used to live in New York. It was the opposite there, where were, like, they would have beat you down. It was so competitive, and everyone helps each other. There's so much business out there.
Yeah.
So
you've noticed that a lot with this show, too.
I didn't know before.
The connections that are made with the industry people, and if someone needs a tent, that someone is there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, you don't find that everywhere. And I think that those individuals that have been here for a really long time, I think we forget. So I think sometimes it's nice to have that newer person kind of come in and go, wait a minute, this is amazing that we can have this here in this community. So
how has the industry changed over the last 15 years you've been in it? I know with social media coming in, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's a little scary, a little exciting.
I don't even know how I used to do my job, to be perfectly honest.
I know.
You actually used to work, right?
I mean, I can't do anything without my iPad or my iPhone. I call it iPanic, actually, when you can't find the iPhone. iPad, it's iPanic. Like, you stop breathing for a moment.
There should be a device that you connect to your iPad. It's all called iPanic. The iPanic button, like with your car.
There's money there.
There you go. Yeah, I might need to find a way to coin that one. So, you know, everything is just so technology driven right now that instead of me walking around with big giant clipboards, I've got my little tiny, you know, iPad with all my pictures. And of course, there's Pinterest and Twitter and blog sites and you name it. There's so many different resources out there that people can kind of go through and look through. And I do really see a lot of my brides. You know, everybody's really interested to see, you know, what's the next greatest trend and color and theme and design. And, you know, one of the things that I really do when I'm working with my clients is I love trendy things. And if I've got a trendy bride, then we're definitely going to go in that direction. But it's really, for me, it's more about who they are. And I spend a lot of time getting to know them as a person and their personality and what their priorities are to really kind of bring that to fruition. And so that aspect hasn't changed. But the technology has just been outstanding as to the different things that I have at my fingertips now to be able to express or show a bride something, and they'll be like, yes, that's exactly what I want. That would have taken me weeks or months to kind of pull all of those resources together and create, you know, a dynamic photo shoot or something, where now I can just flip through and find photos, and, you know, Google and Pinterest are my best friends.
All right, so you love Pinterst. I find there's a love-hate relationship with Pinterest. So you love it.
It's just because we waste so much time on there that we hate it.
I have to admit, I fall asleep at night to Pinterest, so it's just, you know. But it has amazing resources out there, and I think everything in this world can be used for good and evil. And so I think that's where that love-hate relationship with Pinterest comes from. But I think it's wonderful for a great outlet to kind of see, you know, color schemes and ideas and all the fun little crazy stuff that's going on out there that you wouldn't we've never had access to before.
Well, with all this access, I know a lot of people out there, they're kids, they have no idea what they want to do, a lot of millennials, and a lot of them say, hey, I want to be an event planner. That can't be too hard. What advice would you give to anyone to just learn about the industry beforehand, before just saying, oh, that looks easy enough, I'll do that, and think it's going to work out?
I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've heard that from people when I introduce myself, and they're like, well, what do you do? And I say, oh, I'm a wedding planner. And they're like, oh, I've always
wanted to do that.
It just sounds like so much fun. And of course, I'm telling you, my life looks great on Facebook. You know, all the events and grand openings and parties and, you know, glasses of champagne.
You always
that I'm
have
holding.
To be on and ready.
And, you know, my wardrobe closet, you know, keeps expanding along with the shoes. You know, but you're always getting photographed, and, you know, it's just, it's an amazing industry to be a part of. And so I think a lot of people see all of that fun stuff. Like, gosh, all you do is you go to all these fun parties and events and meet people. And, you know, it's the behind the scenes. You know, when I do my job the best is honestly when people don't see me or notice me or know what's going on, because I've taken care of all of those different aspects that, you know, you're going through as far as from the very beginning of the budgeting process. You know, I'm not only an accountant for my client, but I'm sometimes a counselor and, you know, working through, you know, where you've got parents that might be divorced and you've got blended families.
Therapy.
And you've got, you know, this person mm-hmm. wants that person. And sometimes I'll have a client that doesn't want to get frustrated with their future mother-in-law. And so I'll kind of catch the brunt of it a little bit. So, but, you know, you really go
That's
through.
That's a huge selling point right there.
Just yeah. yeah.
I can take it. I sound the redhead. I can take it. Just let it out. Come on. Can you do this? You know, everybody kind of has their own idea of what they want. And, you know, really keeping the bride focused on what she wants and what her priorities are, and you know, bringing that all together is something that is important to me. But I think that's where you can just kind of go through and say, you know, yes, it's fun. I love it. I talk about, you know, the whole architecture behind an event. It's where it's, you know, you're building a house. You have your foundation and you build your walls and you put it all together. The only difference with an event is that we're doing it all in one day. Oh, sometimes 2 days. But if there's one tiny little misstep of...
And you're dealing with humans, so
yeah.
there's
yes.
always...
Yeah. It's always so managed
if
chaos.
If I've got a vendor that gets a flat tire and they show up 30 minutes late, it throws off the entire event schedule, you know, for the whole entire day, you know, along with just the cost aspects of, you know, when you have a vendor that's coming in and, you know, you've got a company that has to load out at 2:00 in the morning. You know, when I have a wedding, I'll do the rehearsal the Friday before, and, you know, I'll be up 7:00 Saturday morning, and I won't get done till probably about 2 or 3:00 in the morning. And I'll be on my feet running around, making sure that, you know, the pictures are going well and that the cake is set out and, you know, everything that you can think about as far as it being together is something that me and my team, you know, are working through. And when all of the guests just have an amazing experience and look around and go, oh, your wedding was the most beautiful wedding I've ever been to.
You're like, score.
And they don't see me running around like the crazy little redhead in the background. Then I've done my job right. Because that's where when you see the chaos that's going on is, you know, when people are affected by it. And that's unfortunate, because we can never go back to that day. We can only have that one moment to take those pictures and have that time.
All right. Well, how do you manage the chaos? We had a story in here last time about there was a bride at a vineyard. They tried to get some people to leave, and someone threw wine on her dress.
Bride's dress.
It was not a good experience for them. So,
yeah, apparently the people that were already at the vineyard were mad that they were having to leave for a private event, and someone threw red wine on the bride's dress.
That's wrong.
It was a bad event space too. I forgot the name of it, but
that's okay. We don't need to mention it.
I like to talk about how bad they are, but okay. So,
and I will go back to vendors.
All right.
You know, working with incredible vendors makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, when you talk about Pinterest and you talk about websites and blog sites and everything out there, I mean, we all have amazing portfolios and we can put pretty pictures together. But when you find those individuals that you work really well together and you can trust them, and we all have our favorite venues and we have our favorite photographers and florists and DJs and you name it. And it's like, when I give a client a recommendation on this venue is going to be perfect for you, or I think this photographer is going to be great, that's not only, you know, their reputation, but it's also my reputation. So, you know, building those relationships are so very important. And I think that for me personally helps manage that chaos, just because I try really, really diligently to pick, you know, the people that I work with very, very carefully. But you can't always manage the chaos. So, you know, I've had, the stories. everyone loves my stories. It's like a great dinner party.
I'm excited.
Like, ooh, you know, what can you tell me now? And you just learn over the years, like some of my first weddings where, in my little chapel in Washington, that had one of the first weddings there, and it was a really, really fun bride and groom. Actually, the groom walked down the aisle to "I'm Too Sexy," and the bride walked down to "I'm Bossy." So I was like, you know what, this is perfect. They just know right off the bat what they want. And but they had silly string that all the groomsmen had like tucked in their tuxedo jackets.
Oh man!
So after the ceremony, we were going down for the recessional. They pulled out the silly string and just started shooting silly string everywhere. It was in the chandeliers. It was in the drapes. It was in the guests' care. Like, of course, the guys thought it was hilarious. My moms and grandmas did not enjoy picking silly string out of their hair. Mm. So I now have silly string stories that I can talk to people about, you know. And that's kind of fun chaos. But, you know, at the same time, you know, when you have officiants that don't show up, or you have, I've had a bride that has said, you know, my brother's going to pick up the cake. And I can really, really strongly advise against not having the brother pick up the cake. But it happens. And then the cake shows up with a nice handprint on the side of it from when it tipped over in the car. So then we're like trying to turn the cake to figure out, mm-hmm. you know, we just want to take pictures and everything else. And there's a handprint. And you know, there's just lots of fun little things that happen.
That's too funny. At my own wedding many, many years ago, not even married anymore, the cantor who showed up to marry us, because I am Jewish and my ex-husband was Muslim, so we had to really juggle to find someone to even marry us, showed up for a black tie wedding in a khaki suit.
There you go.
What?
And, yeah. And my mother, who's Southern, said, you would have thought the sky was tumbling down. She sounded like Chicken Little. And I was just like, Mom, we'll ask the photographer to retouch the suit for the photographs. There's nothing we can do now. You know, everything will be late. Yeah. But the officiants can't screw it up.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and I've had a couple. Actually, I became a licensed minister and officiant when I started a long time ago. Because of that, I actually had a wedding where we had an officiant that didn't show up. And
wow. That's great.
And so I ended up marrying the couple. But okay. But yeah.
I can actually do that, too. I filled out a form, like, in high school, sophomore year.
Yeah.
It took me, like, 2 minutes, and they printed it out. And apparently it works, because my friend married his brother and sister with it.
I can if I'm on my boat. Because captains can perform ceremonies.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's super easy now. Yeah. So.
Definitely.
So what advice would you give to brides? I mean,
hire a planner.
Yeah,
absolutely. We'll all go with
number
that.
One.
Hire
number
a planner. You know, it's with technology and everything being so accessible. I think we've really seen a shift in the industry. You know, we talk about weddings being recession proof because people will always get married, but their budgets do change and their guest counts change. And you've got Pinterest and blog sites and Google and everything else where you can say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I think that just creates so much more stress where you've got, you know, I want my bride to be a bride. I want the mother of the bride to be able to enjoy her friends and family and all of her guests there. I don't want them running around trying to set up floral arrangements and, you know, put chair covers on and everything else that they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
You know, and, you know, when you've got a chair cover company that puts on chair covers and ties sashes every single day, they can do it super fast and they're all completely perfect and at the same height and the same size and the same bow. And then, you know, when a family member is trying to go through and do it, it takes them, you know, three times as long and everything is off center and kilter. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, when you hire a planner, whether it's a full service planner or even day of, which is really more like a month out, you just eliminate a lot of that stress because we do really put that all together when it comes to your timeline. And when you can bring on a full service planner, it honestly, it saves you money in the long run.
And stress
because, you know, the vendor relationships that we have and that I have, you know, I'm doing weddings, you know, many, many times throughout the year along with other events. So the vendor relationships that I have, we are able to create some different discounts or, you know, be that repeat customer to where you have a bride that's, you know, she's planning one wedding. And, you know, if you go on Google and try to find somebody, you look at their reviews and then you go to them and you're just a one retail client.
Yep.
So overall, the cost aspect of hiring a planner along with the stress and everything else, and I do become their accountant and figure out, you know, what everything's going to cost and how we're going to put it together and when everything is going to be due and you know, you name it. There's sometimes when I'll talk to them 10 times a day and sometimes there'll be a couple weeks where we won't talk.
So you deal with all kinds of budgets for people.
Yes.
You work with their budgets. All
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. My Very next cool. wedding in November 9th is actually 600 guests.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be fun. So I might be a little tired after that. Someone might want to come rub my feet after that wedding.
you deserve it after that. Is it? I can't even imagine like a seated dinner for 600 would just be wow.
That's when your vendors, the chemistry comes in right there. So they read your mind. They're like, oh, all right, let me go do that. And you don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That one's gonna be fun.
All right, Sarah. Well, can you give us some contact information? How people reach out? Twitter, all that information, so they can hire you.
Yeah. It's again, I love it. It's pretty simple. It's Sarah Atlanta is my Twitter handle along with the website. So all of my contact information as far as email, Sarah@sarahatlanta.com. So
very easy. Very easy to remember. So, and Atlanta is spelled just like it looks.
Sweet. I didn't spell it wrong.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Masita Partridge with Ivory Bridal and Formal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Did I get the name right? I know you told me like 10 times before the show, but...
You did get it right.
Yes.
Thanks.
All right. So how did you get into this industry? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I have worked in the hospitality industry ever since my last semester of college. I just so happened to take a hospitality elective, and we went and actually toured the Congress Center and the Georgia Dome. They announced an internship, and I... took my first job as a catering sales manager at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Oh.
So I've worked for convention centers, different hotels, private clubs as well. And I've done a lot of corporate and social event planning. And I've planned a ton of weddings. And somewhere along the way, I always wanted to own my own business. And I just had a passion about opening up a bridal boutique. Actually started having the feeling in college and... after my wedding, I didn't have such a great experience with finding my wedding gown, and I wanted to create a boutique that would be different and cater to everybody.
All right, so for the man in the room that doesn't know anything about this, what is a bridal salon? So.
A bridal salon is a beautiful place that has pretty little sparkly things on the inside. It's basically the place where a bride comes to find her wedding dress. For me, for the wedding, I always say it's all about the dress. So the dress kind of, in my opinion, sets the tone of the wedding. But we have a lot of fun helping brides find their special gown.
You do bridesmaids dresses as well, like the whole party?
Yeah, well, not the entire party. We have bridal gowns, of course, bridesmaids dresses, and we do tuxedo rentals as well.
Okay.
So it's sort of a one-stop shop for clothing.
Yeah.
So I could go in there and just have it all done and not have to worry about it. That's what I would like. So.
Yep. We are a one-stop shop.
Well, walk me through an engagement. A customer comes in. How does it work? And walk me through that.
Sure. So in the beginning of the day, we kind of look at our calendar and see who's coming in. We like to really personalize the experience for each of our customers. So we work hard on creating a wow factor, because shopping for a dress, it shouldn't be stressful. It should be a lot of fun. So we have a fun, relaxed environment where a bride can really be herself. We sit down and talk to them and figure out what they're looking for. And of course, we find out what their budget is. And we just want them to really feel comfortable with us and to be able to tell us, you know, exactly how they're feeling about certain things. By the end of the purchase, the brides always become our best friends, and we just have so much fun with them. But we sit down, we chat, we really create that wow factor when they walk in the door, and we let them tell us what they're looking for, and then based on what we think would look good on them, we make suggestions to them as well. And then we just play dress up and have fun.
That sounds like a fun day. Yeah. That's your selling point right there. Let's go
play
dress up. I want
to come hang out with you.
Exactly.
Please do.
You know, Sarah and I would love that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you create this whole experience. Do you guys do custom dresses or anything?
Well, so currently we don't do custom bridal gowns, but we actually have a really unique bridesmaids designer, and she does custom bridesmaids dresses. So we have some really, really cool things happening for our bridesmaids.
All right. And what trends are going on right now? Are you guys following the trends? Or?
Yeah, definitely. The Bridal Fashion Week just ended in New York, and so there were a ton of beautiful gowns that were on the runway. A lot of the trends going on right now, we're still on this whole Great Gatsby glam inspiration. So on the runways, there was a lot of beaded dresses. Halter necklines are actually making a comeback, and...
So excited about that.
Yeah, there were some beautiful halter necklines on the runway. And believe it or not, romantic lace sleeves and kind of like cap sleeves are making...
They're coming back.
They are. You know, trends always kind of recycle. When they're hot, then they're not, then they're hot again. So it's always fun with that. And actually, a lot of gowns on the runway had hints of gold in them. Mm-hmm. So gold is kind of coming out. And we have some very beautiful gowns with some gold embellishments on them at the store. And so it's really all about vintage glamour these days.
So, yeah.
Is there a collection that you're carrying that you're most proud of?
We actually just introduced a new designer. They are relatively new to the United States. The designer is called Eddie Kay, and the gowns are made in Milan, and they are just beautiful. They have beautiful beadwork on them, and when they're under the light, they just sparkle, and they're just they're so romantic and just beautiful. So we really like that collection right now.
All right. Well, yeah. I want to get a little just let's get into how it was starting your own business, what troubles you ran into, and what made you decide just to be like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do this. You know what? I'm tired of working for people.
Yeah. That was a decision that I made a long time ago. You know, it's a little difficult sometimes when you have someone telling you what time you have to be somewhere and I need this report and, you know, all these numbers. I've always worked in the sales industry. And so at a certain point, I was saying, you know, I have these million-dollar sales goals and I'm making them and I can be doing this on my own. So once I decided what I wanted to do, I took a lot of time doing a ton of research. And I probably researched owning a bridal salon for a good 2.5 years just because I really wanted to open and I wanted to open correctly. So I actually partnered with a business consultant that had experience in the bridal retail industry, and she kind of showed me the ropes, and I learned a tremendous amount of information from her. So that helped significantly. So I would just suggest if you do want to start your own business, to definitely take the time to research the industry that you want to be in. Seek experts in the field so that they can guide you and put you on the correct path, and definitely map out a clear financial plan so that you can, you know, fund your business properly.
Well, you're definitely doing it right. So what sets you apart from all the other bridal salons in the area?
I think what sets us apart is that all of our gowns are unique. We made sure that when you go to some bridal salons, most samples that the designers send to you are a size 10. And in a bridal world, a size 10 is a couple of sizes smaller than your normal dress size. So not everyone is you know, thin enough to wear the sample sizes. So we have a wide variety of sample sizes so that every girl, it's really important just to zip up the dress. If you can zip up the dress when you're trying it on, it feels so much better. And it looks better too, of course. So our service is what is really important to me. I wanted to make sure that all of our customers just felt really welcomed in and that it's really all about them. Every bride is paired with their own personal stylist.
Okay.
And we just spend a lot of time getting to know them and finding that perfect dress.
Very do you work cool. by appointment only?
We do prefer appointments, but you know, we have the occasional walk-ins as well. We prefer the appointment so we can personalize the experience and really spend time with them.
So you're saying wedding sizes are a little smaller than normal sizes?
Yeah. And it's, I know it sounds it's so cruel. Crazy.
I was about to say, I would think some marketing person would say, let's do it the opposite.
Yeah, you would think, but yep. And that's what we do. We have to educate our brides on what to expect.
I would just lie to them. I'd be like, this is an 11. Because that's what it actually is. So.
No, it's really depressing
when you go and you are
four sizes bigger than your average dress size.
I can already imagine with my current girlfriend, if having to deal with it would be terrible.
People do ask us about sizes, but I say, don't worry about the size. It, you know, we'll take your measurements and we'll get the perfect dress for you. But yes, the dresses do run about two. You have to go 2 to 4 sizes up than your normal dress.
Well, it's good
size.
That you educate them about that, so then they can just do the mental math. So, man, that's cruel, Jessica.
I know it is. It's terrible. It's a little cruel.
Welcome to our
I can
world.
See why. I mean, do you have to do alterations? Do you do alterations on site? You send the dresses off?
Yep. Once that gown comes in, the bride will come in and she'll try it on to make sure it's perfect and our seamstress will be there. And alterations are super important. And sometimes we also educate them about alterations from the beginning because alterations can sometimes depending on what work they need done and the intricate beading that's on the
right.
dress, alterations can sometimes be expensive. So we let them know an estimated cost up front of alterations.
Get them as close to the right size as possible to start with.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. And the alterations just truly make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. So do you guys serve wine and stuff while people come?
We do, actually. Right. Well, we don't have wine. We have lovely champagne.
Ooh, even better.
And we bake fresh and warm chocolate chip cookies every day, just as a little treat to give our customers.
Man, all right, I'm sold right there. That's a selling nice. Point for me. So yeah. I'll come chill in there with my girl.
Come have some cookies with us.
All right, so what's next for you?
Well, we are just looking forward to engagement season is kind of upon us. We're gearing up for engagement season, and we're really excited about January with all the different bridal events that are coming up and whatnot. And we're just gearing up for a super great 2014, and we're really excited.
Great. Well, yeah. How do our listeners reach out to you and contact you?
Our website is ivorybridalatl.com. We're on Facebook. You can search Ivory Bridal ATL. And we're on Instagram at Ivory Bridal. And our email address is hello@ivorybridalatl.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and educating me about all these things.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have Tracy Kaltman Ahmed.
Very good.
With Weston Atlanta Perimeter North. Jessica, this is the first time I haven't butchered someone's name on the
Doing
show.
Good.
This is
it's good.
Did you pick up on that? The engagement season's coming up?
I did. I've been saving up for a ring.
It's just I would have a hint.
I've been saving up for a ring. It's just they're so expensive and we're going through a move right now. So I was just like, all right. But at least she wants an opal and not really a big diamond. So that has to be cheaper. I think. All right. So. All right, well, Tracy, back to more important thing. Tracy, welcome to the show,
and tell us
a little bit about yourself.
It's funny, I just moved to Atlanta from the Washington, D.C. market, where I was for about 25 years. And I came to the Westin Atlanta Perimeter North because I had worked for Westin for Starwood Hotels before. And we are poised to do a multi-million dollar renovation. And I love doing the marketing, which a lot of us in sales don't get to do anymore because money's tight. So we began the renovation last Monday. We're starting with the rooms, and it will continue through the entire hotel. And it's just it's been a long anticipated renovation. The company that I work for, Marcus Hotels out of Milwaukee, bought the hotel about a year ago. And that's pretty much how long it takes to get it ramped up and get plans approved and order carpet and wallpaper and put in model rooms. So we're excited.
Well, how often do you have to renovate a hotel? There's so much competition. There's so many hotels to pick from, and it's a very financial – it's a huge financial investment to renovate a whole hotel. And you're trying to talk to all the marketing people and be like, hey, well, this is what we need here. This will attract people. Or graphic designers are like, well, this color here is going to make them feel more at home, all that kind of stuff.
Well, when you work for a brand, it becomes a little easier because we are a franchise under the Starwood umbrella, but hotels should be renovated every 5 years. But every year you put money into capital, and there are projects throughout the year. It's typically 5% of your total revenues are funded into a capital budget. So, you know, that's what should be done in the current economy we've been in. It hasn't been done in a lot of hotels. So instead, owners have to come in and do full, extensive renovations, which are hard. I mean, we have weddings, we have meetings. We have things in our ballroom that we've had to, you know, put big calendars on the wall and decide when we can renovate the ballroom and when we can renovate the restaurant.
Definitely. So you guys have to sort of avoid all the customers, too, because you can't shut down a hotel and be like, all right, we'll come back later. We'll be up in a couple months.
No, you can't afford to shut down a hotel and renovate it. It would be pretty dreamy, but it's not done.
Definitely. Well, enlighten me in this whole process and the hotel industry. Let us a little know about it.
Well, you know, it's the hotel industry is an interesting industry. It's very cyclical. It goes right along with the economy. You know, our most recent trend is the government sequester, the government shutdown, really put a cramp in everyone's plans. But business is coming around and it's pulling out. And kind of to make it more topical to this, we do a lot of weddings and a lot of large bar mitzvahs. We're right in Sandy Springs. So, you know, we were out in the green room, and it was funny. We had all just met, but typical in people in sales, the hotel business, weddings, and we all are faced with the same things, trying to find business that fits our hotel and makes it, you want the client to be happy, and you want the hotel to also make money.
All right. Have you seen any differences between coming from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta?
Yeah, the traffic.
Which one's worse?
I cannot believe this, but the traffic in Atlanta is far, far worse than D.C. I never thought I'd say that.
It's unpredictable.
It is. Oh, I live off 285. It's a nightmare.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But I think as far as differences go, I worked in a market very much like the market I work in now, a suburban D.C. market. And we do an enormous amount of ethnic weddings at the hotel. And you know, the business, we work in a big office park. It's all Fortune 100 companies. So you have that social business, you have the corporate business, you have the individual travelers. Then on the weekends, you have the leisure business. So it's not that much different. You're always trying to fill up the hotel on weekends. That's something you know from being in the hotel business that we all have to do.
So I can tell you're passionate about your job. You love it. So what's the best part of it?
People. And and doing things that you enjoy doing. For the first time in a long time, I have this huge pot of money to spend on marketing.
Oh, that's so nice.
And doing events and advertising and picking which magazines I want to do kind of image advertising in, which nobody does anymore because we have to do very focused marketing to draw in clientele.
Yeah.
And it's just, for me, it's that social aspect. When I go home, I don't really want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
We've all been talking all day long.
But I, too, you know, the social butterfly and all, I never met a person that wasn't my friend.
Yeah.
And I love that part. And just meeting people, you know, everybody in what we do, all three of us sitting here, is everybody wants to accomplish something. And everybody has their vision of what they want to do. And when we make that happen, that's when we're successful at what we do. And that it's still fun for me. I've been doing this for 32 years. I set out to be an opera singer. I really wanted to be a torch singer, and it didn't work out. I had to make a living, and my grandfather had been in the hotel business. It was something I knew. So I started it, and never intending to stay. And it just worked. And it's I've been a regional and I've had other positions, but I like being on property because I like connecting with the clients and I like having a team that I work with and being able to come up with crazy ideas that people say, oh, we never did that before. Mm-hmm. And that's really when you know you're connecting with somebody.
How do you deal mainly just with the clients that you have to convince ideas of, or are you dealing with the hotel managers and saying, let's do this? Like, how does that work? I'm really interested in it.
A lot of times I'm dealing with the hotel manager, convincing him that we should do something. But my job is more the oversight. I don't sell as much in this hotel as I'm used to selling. But it's really motivating a team to get them to look at new ideas, find new ways to go out and find business. What can we do today? We have clients coming over, and we're doing a reception on the lake. The hotel has a lake in the back of it, a beautiful lake for events, hint, hint. And we're doing a pumpkin decorating contest. And it's just to kind of Westin. The Westin brand is all about feeling good and renewal and transformation. And that's how we want our clients to feel. So anything that we can do to draw people in, not necessarily to ask them for business, but to make them comfortable in our place of business will help our business.
Definitely. Well, are you looking for more like businesses to be like, well, we are only going to use Westin's. Those are our hotels of choice. Are you looking for event planners that are like, hey, we want to use your venue because it's so great. So it's all that. You guys need more of that?
Well, for us, just like the other guests have said, it's all about collaboration. And we love when a bride comes in with a wedding planner.
Yeah.
You know, there's this whole thing about too many chiefs, and whether it's a large meeting or a big wedding, there are too many people making decisions when only one really needs to talk to the hotel or your salesperson. And when a planner is involved, things become very much smoother. They're our sole contact, and then they distribute the information down to the bride and the groom, or the mom and the dad, or the stepmother or the stepfather. So, you know, it's the same thing as you know in your bridal business, because you were in sales. It's really the bride's dress, but you have to make the mother happy and the father happy. And, you know, so for us, the collaboration is very important of working with other people. And we like to bring in the third party people. They're called third party planners in our business. And, you know, also working one on one with clients. There are clients that you can use your expertise to teach them, new meeting planners or assistants that have been shoved into meeting planning jobs, where you have to kind of lead them down the path. But then you train them the way you want them to be trained.
All right. Well, what are the new ways you're getting out in front of these businesses and these wedding planners saying, hey, pick me, we're the best? How are you doing that? How do you get in front of these people?
Well, obviously, social media is a huge thing for all of us. And one of the, you know, social media, period. But the other thing is events. And for a long time, the recession wasn't allowing hotels to really have the money to put together events. But yeah, we have a couple of events coming up that we're doing specifically for planners.
Let
to
our
bring
listeners
them in.
Know about it.
Yes. On November 11th, we have a bar and bat mitzvah expo at the hotel on Sunday afternoon, which people are invited to. And we participate in the area at a lot of the wedding shows, as you said, in January and all of that. So we're doing that. And you can stay tuned. We're at Westin Atlanta Perimeter North on Facebook. We're on Twitter under the same handle. And everything is advertised, talked about. And right now you can come by the hotel and put a leaf on our transformation tree.
Ooh.
And we have a very large oak tree in the lobby that we're incorporating as part of our renovation plan. And behind the front desk, there's a beautiful piece of artwork that'll come in that's a photograph kind of painting of a live oak, which is the state tree of Georgia. And so we decided to involve our guests and visitors in pinning leaves on a tree, kind of a Pinterest kind of takeoff.
Ah.
And then at our grand opening party, we will draw leaves for some really fabulous trips.
All right.
Nice.
So come and visit the Westin Atlanta Perimeter North, 7 Concourse Parkway.
All right. Well, also, can you give the website one more time for that?
It's www.westinatlnorth.com.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being
you.
On the air. Jessica, you did it again. Great guest. Great show.
Thank you.
She always puts together the best shows. We make a good team. So.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
She does all the work, right?
She does all the work, yes. I show up. I
he just shows up and looks pretty.
Exactly. This beat's working, so... Well, Jessica, I don't want to check in with you like I do every episode to see how your Ventrepreneurs group's going.
It's going
like your
very
own social
well.
Network.
I know it is. It's a little event industry network where we all can collaborate and find other. If we have needs for mm-hmm. different events, we can call on vendors and things. So it's a great resource.
And are you planning any events coming up that I can come? come
yes.
Crash
well,
and
I'll tell
get
you.
Some food?
I'll tell you as soon as I have a date down for it for sure.
Definitely. All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.